We begin the current daf Masechta Tzivachim daf Kuf. We begin on the bottom one of Tzadik Tesimah Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And as we had said in our Mishnah, the Halacha, regarding an Einin, that he does not get a division, a portion, which is the topic of this parak, in the kachim that were sacrificed that day. So the Gemara made a deek. Sounds like, okay, that he just doesn't get to divide. But if, let's say, his friend invites him to eat the kachim that night, he'll be able to eat. On that, the Gemara asked a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim that says an Einin cannot eat kachim on that night. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Medifti gave an answer, and the Gemara gave two answers regarding to differentiate between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim. Either our Mishnah is talking about the night of Pesach, which then for Pesach they permitted all kachim, and there it's talking about other days of the year, or the Gemara gave another answer that a Ravasi, that one is talking about when it was the night of the death, then he wouldn't be able to be permitted that night. And our Mishnah is talking about when it's the night of the Kavura, but the death was the day before that. And then there's Loi Tafas Leila Midrabana. Then rabbinically, there's no problem if the Yom Kavura itself is only prohibited to partake of Kachim. Rabbinically, so the night, for sure, we're not going to extend that rabbinic law, and it's going to be permitted that night. But then the Gemara says, so, okay, who's this Tana Mishnah Masechta Pesachim that we brought that says that Aninus Leila Midrabanan, that halacha of the night after Aninus is when that day his relative passed away, the following night is only rabbinic, and therefore, as we said, that from the answers we had said regarding the contradiction, our Mishnah Pesachim, was this idea at least, that everyone agrees that regarding the Karban Pesach, it's permitted to bring the Karban that day and be Taimav Oichel Pesach L'Arab, you can eat your Karban Pesach in the evening. Obviously, that's only because of Rabbinic Aninus. If it's Deraisa, then that would not allow you to eat the Karban Pesach. And that said, the Gemara, it's Rabbi Shimon, like the Gemara brought a Braisa, that was clearly, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Aninus is at the night following the death is actually biblical. Rabbi Shimon says that's no, it's only rabbinic. And his proof is from that Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, so we basically associate that Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, like Rabbi Shimon, where we see that although one cannot partake of Kachim the following night, because it's rabbinic, but b'makom karis of a karban pesach lo hamidu divreim. If it was biblical, one would not be able to. But since rabbinic and it's regarding a karban pesach, which if one doesn't bring it as karis, therefore lo hamidu divreim. Now that the Gemara continued, and later on the Gemara brought a brisa that seemingly says clearly, Rabbi Shimon holds that one is not allowed to bring a karban pesach if he's an einin that day, as we learned that from shlamim, kushu shalom maybe veinim maybe kushu einin. You have to be whole when you bring a shlam. Can't be lacking when there's a loss, like if someone lost a close relative, which makes him into einin. And in the brisa, which is Rabbi Shimon, he includes all the karbanas, including b'charim ma'aser u'pesach. So you see, a pesach cannot be brought when you're einin. That contradicts what we said from Rabbi Shimon previously, that he's the Tana Mishnah Masechta Pesachim that holds that one could bring a karban pesach when he's an einin, because he actually goes and eats it that night. So the Gemara said already two answers. One answer was, you're right, pesach kedin nasve. It really does not include Pesach. Pesach could be brought even as an einin, and he could eat it that evening. That brisa, the last one that we brought of Rabbi Shimon, it only mentioned it incidentally because it's usually in the category of Bechayr Meister Pesach, which that's a similar category, but you're right, it doesn't include Pesach. Rav Shesh has given an answer. What does it mean Pesach that's forbidden when he's Oin? It means Shalmei Pesach. It means the Chagiga of Yudali when there's not enough meat of the Karban Pesach to go around for the large Chabura. They bring a Shlam with that, and although we already said Shlam was necessary to say that the Shalmei Pesach, because you would think it would be like the Pesach itself, therefore we say that no, that it's not going to be permitted to be brought as an Oin, but the Karban Pesach, of course, like we brought previously from Mishim and the Mishim Mechel Pesachim, is permitted to be brought as Oin. Those are two answers. And that's where Gemara continues in his Rav Mari Amar. He says a third interpretation, as a continuing type of Kof Men Aleph. Says, like Kasha, this contradiction of Rav Shimon is not a difficulty. Why? Kan, over here that we taught in the Brisa, this last Brisa on the bottom of the previous Daf, that said that an Einan is not allowed to bring a Karban Pesach, is Shemes Le Mes B'Yadalad, V'Kavi B'Yadalad, where the close relative died on the 14th of Nisan, and he was buried on that same day. Kan over here in the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim is Shemes Lemes B'Yud Gimel V'Kavur B'Yud Aleph, is where the relative had died the day before then on the 13th of Nisan, and he was buried on Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. As the Gemara explains, Mes Lemes B'Yud Aleph V'Kavur B'Yud Aleph, as in the case of the Braisa, if he died on the 14th of Nisan and was buried that same day, that's Yoy Misa, that's the day of the death, that's biblical law of Aninus. Typhus Leila Midaraisa. So therefore, it's going to say that biblically, it's also going to be prohibited the following night, as Rabbi Yehuda learns later on, that the law of Aninus Leila is Midaraisa, is biblical. And that's how the Gemara is saying right now in this interpretation, that Rabbi Shimon would agree to that concept. If that was the day of the death, Yeah, biblically it's prohibited that night, and therefore it'd be forbidden to eat the Pesach that night. You can't bring a carbon Pesach. But this that we taught earlier, that Reb Shimon says, and that was the same thing as the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, that he could eat his Pesach on that night, that's Meisle Meis B'Yud Gimel B'Kavir B'Yud Dalet. That's when his relative had died the day before Erev Pesach, on the 30th of Nisan. He was only buried on the 4th of Nisan. Oh, Yom Kavu Midrabanan. The day of the burial is not the biblical law of Aninus. The biblical law of Aninus is only one day, the day of the death. Now, sometimes they can't bury him the day of the death, but the day of the burial is not biblically Aninus. Rabbinically, they said that he still could sit in Einin regarding certain limitations, even on the day of the burial. So, Einu Teifis Leila Yom Midrabanan. So, even if you're going to say that the night after the burial will be an aninus, but it's not going to be a biblical aninus, because even the day of the burial itself is only rabbinic, the night following it is also only going to be rabbinic, and that's why it's permitted to go ahead, as Reb Shimon said, as the Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim said, to go ahead and bring the Karban Pesach on that day and eat it that evening, the night after the Kavura is only going to be rabbinic, and Lohimidu Devrim and Malkum Karas, they did not keep their rabbinic law of being prohibited in Kachim the night after the Kavura, because that's in place of a liability of a punishment of Karis if one doesn't bring the Karban Pesach, which biblically one is obligated. It's only rabbinically considered aninus. Moreover, Rashi says that according to this interpretation, the contradiction that we originally had in the sugya of the previous stop between the Mishnah and Pesachim and our Mishnah, Rav Meir would have to answer that both of them are talking about the day of the Kavura. As he said over here, that we're talking about the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim is talking about the day of the Kavura. And in our Mishnah, was talking about the night of Pesach. And in the Mishnah Pesachim, that said that it's going to be forbidden to have other kachim, unlike our Mishnah, which said you're allowed to have other kachim, it's just you don't get a portion, it's talking about Shayim HaSashana, as we had answered previously from Rabbi Mir had given that answer. What does it mean in the Mishnah in Pesachim, that Avaloi B'Kadoshim, it means but not to partake of kachim on other days of the year. So although that it's, as the Gemara is explaining now, Rabbi Mir is saying that the Mishnah Pesachim is only the day of the Kavura, but that's still going to be forbidden for other kachim, even though it's a day of the Kavura, and our Mishnah that permits it would be told by the night of Pesach. Now, on this interpretation of Rav Mori, Amalei Rav Asher Rav Mori, he asked him, he says, but if that's the case, that you're explaining, okay, no contradiction, Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon permits the Karban Pesach when it's a day of the Kavura, but the day of the Misa with the day beforehand. And when does he say it's forbidden if it's the day of the Misa and the day of the Kavura is the 4th of Nisan? But then, Asra, Rashi, Velahodik Tanya, than this that we learned in the Braisa, that Allah, Rabbi Shimon, said to Rabbi Huda his dispute, and as we mentioned this in the previous daf, that Rabbi Huda said, Aninas Leila is Midai Raisa. Shimon says, no, Aninas Leila is Midrabban. Says Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda, Tedi, you should know that I'm right. Shari Amr, because they said, Einan, Taival, Vaichel is Pesach, the Einan could immerse himself and he'll eat the Karban Pesach that night, Avaloi Bakachim, but not Bakachim. Now, how could you eat the Karban Pesach that night? What do you mean? If it's Aninas Leila is Midai Raisa, so the biblical law says you can't partake of kachim. So how could you go and eat the Karban Pesach? Even though it's an obligation, but you can't. Just like when one is tummy, you can't eat the Karban Pesach. Obviously, says Rav Shimon, that you see aninus leilas drabon. On that, as Rav Asher to Rav Mori, according to you, Neimalei, Rav Yehuda should have responded back to Rav Shimon, Kamina loch ano yoy misa dairaisa. I'm telling you that I'm talking about the day of the death, which is biblical, as the Gemara is going to bring later on, that Yehuda's source for this halacha is the aninus of Aaron HaKohen when the day when his sons Nadav and Aviah had passed away, which that's the Yom HaMisa. V'amrit li at Yom Kavura, and you're telling me a proof regarding the day of the burial, which that's what Rav Mori had explained. Rav Mori had explained that when does Rav Shimon permit the Laila that it's only Midrabanan? That's the Yom HaKavura, but Rav Mori himself, to his resolution, was saying that Rav Shimon agrees that's going to be us on the Yom HaMisa. But that's Rav Yehuda should have said to Rav Shimon, what do you mean, Yom HaKavura? It itself is only Drabbanan, it's only rabbinic. And of course there I would agree that the night is going to be permitted. So what are you bringing me and disagreeing with me by showing me the law of Ein Tov Eichel is Pischai, which that's only by Yom HaKavura? I'm not talking about that. When do I say Aninus Leilas Midaraisa is by the Yom HaMisa? So it's more kasha, not a tiyufta, as the Mefarshim explained, which is a refutation. It's a difficulty; it could be resolved, but it's definitely a question about then what was Rav Shimon telling him? Why didn't Rav Yehuda respond? If Rav Yehuda holds that it's only by the Yom HaMisa, and you're telling me that Rav Shimon agrees to the Yom HaMisa that it's going to be forbidden, and Rav Shimon's only coming on Yom Kavura, and Yom Kavura Rav Yehuda would agree, and therefore that's a difficulty in that resolution. Abayam, he gives a fourth interpretation to resolve the contradiction of the opinion of Reb Shimon regarding an Einin on bringing his Karban Pesach. So Abaye says that both brises are talking about the day of the death. And truthfully is that Reb Shimon holds that Aninus Laila, even after the day of the death, is only rabbinic. But Loikash, it's still not a difficulty. Because Khan over here that we learned in the Braisa, this last one on the previous daf, that Reb Shimon was saying all these karbanis, including Karban Pesach, that cannot be brought when he's in Einin, is Shemei's Koyden Chatzais. We're talking about the Karban Pesach. When is the Karban Pesach brought? It has to be Bein Arbaim, from afternoon up until the evening. So we're talking about where his relative died. Yes, it was the Yom HaMisa. We're talking about the night after the Yom HaMisa, meaning the relative died on the 14th of Nisan. But the Braisa that says that he cannot bring the Karban Pesach is when Shemei's Koyden Chatzais, where the relative died before noon. Kan Shemei's Lacha Chatzais. The Mishnah Pesachim is talking about when he died after noon, as the Gemara explains. Koyden Chatzais, when the relative died before noon, Doli Ichzi LePesach, where he wasn't yet fit to bring the Karban Pesach, so therefore the Torah is rejecting him. From this pasuk, we were expounding, like it says, Shalomim Kishu Shalom, who maybe when he's holy could bring his Karban, not when he's in Einin. So Chai LeLeAninus. So if it's not noon yet, so you don't have an obligation of Karban Pesach yet, but now the person's becoming an Einin. You're an Einin, so therefore you can't go ahead and bring the Karban Pesach anymore. But the Mishnah in Pesachim that says Tayvel Veichel Pischai, that he immerses in the Itzik's Karban Pesach that night, obviously from there you see that an Einin does bring a Karban Pesach. That's when the relative died, Acher Chatzais, afternoon, Teichzi LePesach, where the obligation of slaughtering the Karban Pesach came before the Aninus, because the obligation comes from noon, and the relative died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Therefore, Lechayla LeAninus, therefore the Aninus will not take effect anymore to prevent the person from bringing his Karban Pesach. Now, however, as Rashi goes through the detail to explain, obviously you have to say, and that's what the Gemara is assuming, that Aninus Leila is Dirabbanan. Why? Because if it was biblical, then he would not be able to eat the Karban Pesach. The Mishnah Pesachim says, not just that you bring the Karban Pesach, but Tevo Va'ichel Pischel Le'erev. Reb Shimon says that you eat the Karban Pesach in the evening. Now, because although the obligation, the way we're answering right now, of when do we say that he brings the Karban Pesach, but then didn't Reb Shimon say you don't bring the Karban Pesach? Oh, when does he not bring the Karban Pesach? The relative died before Chatzais. Okay, when does he bring it? The relative died after Chatzais. The obligation of the Karban Pesach already started. But that's only for the slaughtering of the Karban Pesach, which is the Hakrava, the bringing of the Karban Pesach, that was before the Aninus. But the obligation of the eating did not come before the Aninus, because the eating of the Karban Pesach only starts at nighttime. And why would you go ahead and be allowed to eat the Karban Pesach in the nighttime? Rather, it's because according to Abaye, whose answer we're going at right now, he holds that the eating of the Karban Pesach is not ma'akiv. Because if he held the eating of the Karban Pesach would be ma'akiv, as we're going to see shortly, there is such an opinion, then Reb Shimon could have held, and that's what Rashi is addressing, that Aninus Laila is Dairaisa. And even so, since the obligation of the Karban Pesach came before the Aninus, so he could eat his Karban Pesach in the evening, because Achilles Pesach is intrinsic and integral to the whole Karban Pesach. So therefore, because if he wouldn't have eaten it, then he wouldn't be able to bring it. Now, but that's what we're saying right now, that even so, even though the eating the Karban Pesach is not me'akiv, still, even though the Aninus of Laila is going to be Drabbanan, so if Aninus Laila is Drabbanan, the Atomic Karban Pesach is not me'akiv to the Hakra of the Karban Pesach, so then why do we allow it? We understand why you could bring the Karban Pesach. Because the Chiyuv started before the Aninus happened, the person died only at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But then how do we allow the eating the Karban Pesach in the evening if you're saying that even though Aninus Laila is on the Drabbanan, but the halacha should be that the Rabbanan say it's forbidden, and that's not intrinsic to be mekayim the chiyuv karis of the Karban Pesach. So, and that's what Rashi says, two answers. Either, no, they would be lo hamidu devarim b'makom karis, it would be regarding the actual Karban Pesach, because if the person wouldn't be able to eat it, maybe the person would not go ahead and bring it in the first place, which then he would be violating the chiyuv karis, the Karban Pesach. Or also you could say that, no, since we said that you have to shecht the Karban Pesach, you have to slaughter it, because the chiyuv started before the aninus happened, which only happened later after the noon. So then it's not appropriate to institute an initial halacha that the Karban Pesach should be slaughtered with intention of it becoming pasul. And that's why, a second reason why we said that the Rabban allow him to even eat the Karban Pesach. But it's still, in spite of that, that does not apply to other kachim, even the night of Pesach, because, yeah, Hamidah Devarim B'Makom Aseh, the Rabbanan made their prohibition of aninus lavan rabbanon even in regards to the positive commandment of eating kachim, just not for something like karas, like the korban pesach. Now, from our Mishnah that we medayik, that if he's invited to eat that night, he could eat. So that's like Rav Asi said previously, that's on the day of the kvura, where the relative had died on the 13th of Nisan, and then he was buried on the 14th of Nisan. Then there, even rabbinically, it's not going to be typhus laila, and that's why one could eat it, as the Mishnah in our Masech said it. But the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about the Yemen Misa, then they wouldn't be able to eat the kachem at night then, but the Karban Pesach, that's where he could. Why? Because, like Rashi gave two interpretations, even though it's not ma'akev for the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach itself, which is the chiyuv of karis, not the eating, but the bringing of the karban. However, again, like we said, although it's not integral, but still, and although aninus at nightem is at least rabbinically prohibited, but still, that two reasons, either because then the person might not bring it in the first place, or even if he would, but it's not appropriate to institute it, to go ahead and have it burned initially, and therefore we allow him to even eat it at the nightem. But that was the interpretation of Abaye to differentiate and say, yeah, one source that Rav Shimon was saying that it's permitted to bring the Karban Pesach was when the person died afternoon. When they said that, you know, it was when the person died before noon, and therefore the Chiyuv Aninus started before the Chiyuv Pesach. And that continues Abaye. U'menat Tamer Deshan Eleim. From where do I know that regarding biblical law that we differentiate bin Kodem Chatzais, bin Lacha Chatzais, which is this halacha that we're saying regarding the Aninus Deraisa, that's here on the Yemen Misa, that's going to depend if you bring the Karban Pesach or not, when the person died. The time, like learn the Braisa, the Pasuk says in Vayikra, which talks about the halacha of the Kohen has certain halachas and all become tummy. But regarding his seven close relatives, the halacha is that Loh Yitama, which that Pasuk is just the end of that topic, which was told about all his relatives, and says even to his sister, that's a Basula, that's close to him, which if she wasn't married yet, so he makes himself tummy tart, meaning to be involved in her burial. That says the Braisa, mitzvah. That's an obligation. Loi Ratzav, he doesn't want to. I'm a tar, I'm a kain. No, metamanois al karcha, they force him to become tummy, to be involved in the burial of one of his seven close relatives. And moreover, Maisa be Yosef a kain, it was actually an incident with Yosef the kain. Shemesa ishta be erva pesach. His wife died in erva pesach. But Loi Ratzav, tummy, didn't want him to become tummy. He's going to become tummy, he's a kain, he's not going to be able to bring his karm pesach. But v'nimnu achav akahanim betimu bal karcha. His brothers, the kahanim, they counted on this, and they took a vote, and they forcibly made him tummy. Now, that says the Gemara of Rimini. Now, this is the conclusion of what Abaye wants to prove from the contradiction. He's going to have to give an answer, which will prove his point that you have to differentiate between before Chatzais and after Chatzais. Because the Braisa says as follows. It says, Ula Chaisai. It says in the Pasuk regarding the Nazar. The Pasuk before, similar halachas, we're talking about the Kayat. Here we're talking about a Nazar. It says, Ula Chaisai to his sister, which says that he's not allowed to become tummy. He's like the Kohen Gadol who doesn't become tummy to anyone. It says he doesn't become tummy to his father, to his mother, and for sure to his sister. So ask the Braisa, so l'achaysa matam alema, what exactly is the Pasuk teaching when he says he cannot become tummy to his sister, if he can't be matami to the parents, which is more of a connection to be matami to, for sure not to the sister. So on that is what the Braisa is coming to address, where the beginning of the Braisa was talking about a nazar, as we're actually going to quote shortly the whole Braisa later on. And this is the end of the Braisa. What the Braisa is saying is, let's say he's a nazar, which has a certain kedusha, a certain tara. And not only that, he's also a kohen gadol. And not only that, harisha halach lishchet es pischei. He's also going to slaughter his karban pesach. V'lomel es benoig, or to circumcise his son, which is also intrinsic to the karban pesach, because if he has any males in his household that are not circumcised, he can't go ahead and eat the karban pesach. So he's on his way to fulfill the obligations of the karban pesach. V'shamash emes lemes, he heard that one of his close relatives passed away. So yechel yitami, you would think that this nazar, who's a kohen gadol, who's on his way to bring the karban pesach, which all of these things are the antithesis of becoming tamei. So yechel yitami, you would think, okay, he would go ahead and make himself tamei to bury that close relative. On that amr, that's what he's going to say, that no, lo yitami, he should not go ahead and make himself tamei, either because he's nazar, or because he's a kohen gadol, or because he comes to bring the karban pesach. Either one of those would be reasons not to become tummy. For sure, over here we have all three of them. Now, on that continues the Braisa, Yachal Kashem Shalit Tamal Achaisa. You would think that just like we're saying in the Pasuk that he should not become tummy to his sister, Kachim Tamal Lemes Mitzvah, so too, he should not make himself tummy if, let's say, he finds what's called a dead person that's a mitzvah to bury because no one's around to bury that person. Tamalayim v'lachais. That's the pasuk, as we're going to shortly see. That's the reason why it says, and to his sister, to tell you, lachais hudeinu matame. It's only to his sister that he does not make himself tame. Av matame hu lameis mitzvah, but he does make himself tame to a meis mitzvah, even if he has all these three things, that he's a nazir, kain gadol, on his way to do karm pesach, for a meis mitzvah, he will make himself tame. Now, obviously we see that the obligation of the karm pesach makes him forbidden, not regarding the meis mitzvah, but regarding his close relatives, his sister, from becoming tamei. And that even though his sister died that day, he's going to bring in the karm pesach as an einan. Now the assumption of the Gemara right now is that both of these brises are going according to Rabbi Kiva. That as the first brise said, that he says lo yitama is mitzvah, that when someone's close relative, even if he's on his way to bring a karm pesach, there really is an obligation to become tamei to a close relative. So therefore, how are we going to explain this last brisa that says that he doesn't become tamei to the close relative? Why not? There's an obligation in lo yitama. A regular person who's not a nazir, or someone that's coming to bring his karm pesach, seemingly should not bring the karm pesach, and the obligation requires him of becoming tamei to his close relative. Rather, says Abaya, lav shma mino, can we not infer from this contradiction what's called a shpar, what you have to come out and say is, kan koidim chatzis, kan la'achar chatzis. The last brisa is talking about when the close relative died after noon, where already there was the obligation of the karban pesach, which is going to then reject the ability of the person becoming tummy, because you already have an obligation of bringing a karban pesach. And that's why it says that you're not going to become tummy. The first brisa is talking about where the close relative died before chatzis. That's where the anin has already started before pesach, and that's what Lo Yitama says, that even though it's Erev Pesach, that you don't want to become tamei, that no, they make the person tamei, and they make the person go ahead and become tamei because of law. And therefore, says Abaye, you see what I'm saying, this idea of being mechalik in the halachas of biblical law regarding before chatzais and after chatzais. Same idea I'm saying regarding anin is to resolve Reb Shimon. Does Reb Shimon allow an einin who the day of the death was an Erev Pesach being the Karban Pesach or not? Depends. If the death was before Pesach, then it's forbidden because aninus is already chal. If it's after chatzais, then one does bring the Karban Pesach because the chiva Pesach started even before. On this interpretation, and the proof that Abaye brings from this contradiction of the brises, the Gemara says, Mimai. From where do you know that the reason of the first brise is because the aninus came before the obligation of the chiva of Karban Pesach because it was before noontime, that you're trying to prove your point to say that Reb Shimon, who you said before, when he says that the einan does not bring a Karban Pesach, is talking about when the relative died before noon and you want to say that he's like Rabbi Kiva. And that has to think about, how do you know that? Maybe I'll tell you, maybe both of these brises that you just brought are both talking about afternoon. And the reason of Rabbi Kiva is not because the relative died before noon. And actually, if the person did not become tamei from the dead person, and even if the relative died before noon, he would have to go ahead and do the Karban Pesach. And the thing that's being discussed over here is not aninus, but rather because of becoming tamei. And so too, we could say that even if the relative died after noon, Rabbi Kiva would say that he has to make himself tamei. But the idea that we're talking about is not the aninus part, which you're trying to bring a raya. Aninus, see, mechal between before chatzis and after chatzis. No, it's regarding the laws of tumah. As the Gemara explains, because vaha Rabbi Shmuel, the second brisa is like Rabbi Shmuel. Vaha Rabbi Kiva, the first brisa is like Rabbi Kiva, as the Gemara explains, the time in the brisa. Lo yitama, the pasuk that we brought before, which is an obligation even on a kohen. But a regular person has an obligation of becoming tamei to one of his close relatives. His wife, his sister, his father, his mother. So that says the brisa, it's a machlekes. Rishus, it's a permissibility, he's allowed to. I mean, the kohen who has to stay tar, the Torah permits him, allows him to become tamei to one of these close relatives, that's the Rabbi Shmuel. Kiva says, no, it's a chayv, it's an obligation. And there's no way of making it up, because someone might go ahead and then bury that close relative before, if this person doesn't bury this person today, because he wants to bring his Karban Pesach. And that's why, like we brought the mice with Yosef a kohen, we make that person become tamei to his relative. Now, therefore, there's no more penalty, there's no more punishment, there's no more crisis here of a chi of karas of Karban Pesach, because he's tamei, and he's supposed to become tamei. So therefore, a Karban Pesach, okay, you could do tashlumin on Pesach Sheni on the 14th of Iyar. Now, the Braisa, however, who that said that lo yitame, that is not become tame, that's like Rabbi Shmuel, who says that to become tame to one of the close relatives is a rishus, it's a permission. So therefore, since it's after Chatzais and the obligation of Karban Pesach already took effect, so we're not going to reject the mitzvah of Karban Pesach because of the permissibility of becoming tame. What do you mean? You have chi of Karban Pesach. The permission of becoming tame is not going to allow that. And therefore we could say that no, both according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Kiva, an einin that did not become tame would bring his Karban Pesach. And even if the relative died before noon, because the reason over here, like we're saying, is not because of aninus, it's because of the halachas of tumah. Is there an obligation of becoming tame? Then even after Chatzais, you can become tame. If there's no, then no, then the chiv of Karban Pesach took effect. But not to bring a proof to what you're trying to infer that regarding aninus, we're going to differentiate between before Chatzais and after Chatzais to say that's your proof for the resolution of Reb Shimon. That answers Abaya, loisakataytach. No, you cannot entertain to reject my raya by saying that the two brises is not Rebbe Kiva, and then I have to resolve it and say, oh, must be that it's because before Chatzais and after Chatzais regarding aninus. And to say that one Bryce is Rabbi Shimon, one is Rabbi Kiva, one is Rabbi Shmuel, says Abaye, no, because the Reisha Ahi, the beginning of that Bryce, the second Bryce, which talks about the law of the Nazir, that's Rabbi Kiva Katani law. That's Rabbi Kiva who's saying that, who we know he says that it's a mitzvah, I mean, that's an obligation to become Tamei. And therefore, you cannot answer the way you wanted to say that Bryce is Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, says Abba, you have to say the reason is because of before Chatzais and after Chatzais. And that's where the person died before noon, so the obligation of becoming Tamei by the Karban Pesach, and then he becomes Tamei. And so too, says Abba, regarding the obligation of Aninus, that came first, then he's not going to bring the Karban Pesach. When the person died after noon, so then the obligation of the Karban Pesach came first, and therefore removed the obligation of becoming Tamei. Therefore, he's not going to become Tamei. And so too, regarding the Aninus, it's not going to take effect, and he is going to bring the Karban Pesach in that situation. How do I know that that's Rabbi Kiva? Says the Gemara, the Tanakh, learn the Braisa. The beginning of that Braisa says, Rabbi Kiva, Oim Rabbi Kiva says, and therefore we see it's Rabbi Kiva, Nefesh, and again, as we said, that Braisa is talking about the Nazir, says in the Pasuk, Kol Yimei Hiziru LaHashem, all the days that he's a Nazir to Hashem, on Nefesh Meis LaYabe. He's not allowed to come in contact with any corpse. And it says there that La'av V'Limai, that includes his father, his mother, and now that whole Pasuk seemingly is superfluous because it already tells us, as we're going to shortly quote, Nefesh Emes, it includes his close relatives and not close relatives. I mean, just not relatives at all. So the Bryce is going to elaborate on all those words. So why does it mention father, mother, sister? Why does it say all those things? We already know relatives are forbidden. But the beginning of the Bryce starts off that when it says Nefesh, Elo HaKarevim, that refers to his close relatives, that refers to relatives. As Rashi points out, that's not from the inference of the word itself. Because then you would have a difficulty and say, okay, then why did the Pasuk mention the next word of mace, which includes non-relatives, where if you would say tu psukim, actually you would say that the first understanding would be tefas demu tefas. You would say it would be forbidding him from non-relatives, because relatives we see like by Kahanim, for example, that it could become tamei too. It's just that what the Bryce is addressing is now that there are two psukim, so then if we're going to interpret one for Karev and one for Rechikim, the word nefesh is going to include the relatives because they're like nafshay, they're like his soul, they're like his own self. So when it says that he's not allowed to become tamei to nefesh, that refers to relatives. Meis, to someone that's dead, ilu Rechikim, that refers to people that are not related. Now, when the Pasuk then continues, La'aviv, that he cannot become tamei to his father, now what's that teaching? If he's coming to teach that he's not become tamei to him, but already said from Nefesh and Meis that Kravim and Rechekim are forbidden to become tamei to. Rather, it's coming to specify that who's forbidden from to become tamei to. That's relatives like his father, Einam Matama, that he does not become tamei to. Av Matama hu l'meis mitzvah, we're saying it for the inference. But he could become tamei for a mes mitzvah, who has no one to bury them. So too, the Pasuk continues and says, not only for his father, but also li'imai for his mother. What's that teaching? If it's coming to say that she's forbidden, we already said that all relatives are forbidden. And if it's coming to permit the meis mitzvah, like we said from La'aviv, that we already learned from La'aviv. Rather, it's not necessary just if the person is a nazir, who's forbidden to come in contact with any corpse. Rather, it's coming to teach you that even if he has an additional level of sanctity, for example, let's say, hayakayin vu nazir. He wasn't just a nazir, he was a kayin and a nazir. And that's what the Pasuk is saying for the inference, li'imai hu de'in mitame. To his mother he cannot become tame. Al matame hu le'mes mitzvah. But he could be mitame to a mes mitzvah. In other words, from the exclusion of his mother, we expound, for his mother, he cannot become tame, but he could be metame to the meis mitzvah, and that's how we interpret all those extra words in the pasuk. Where it continues, it says, la'achiv, to his brother, he cannot be metame. Which is, even she'im hoyu kohen gadol, v'hu nazir. It wasn't just a nazir and a kohen, he was a kohen gadol. And that's what the pasuk is saying, la'achiv hu dein metame. To his brother, he cannot become tame. Av metame hu l'meis mitzvah, but he could become tame to the meis mitzvah. And then the pasuk says, u'lachaisi to his sister. What's that teaching? And that says the Brayson, we quoted this before. Hooray, if you have this person that's a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, and there's even another reason why he should not become Tame. He's on his way to slaughter the Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach, and he's going to circumcise his son, which is integral for him to be able to have the Karban Pesach. Now he hears that a relative of his passed away. You think he become tame? Amar lo yitame. He said, no, he can't become tame. Like we said, first of all, he's a nazir. Plus, he's a kohen gadol who can't be metame to his close relatives, and he's on the way to Karban Pesach. Now, that's what continues the brisa. Yochel kashem she'ein metame l'chayse. You would think just like he does not become tame to his sister. Kach ein metame l'mes mitzah. So to even if it's a mes mitzah, he's not become able to become tame. Tame l'mem l'chayse. That's what the word l'chayse comes to teach. Is l'chayse lo yitame. To his sister cannot become tame. That's what I specified. Avitame hu l'mes mitzah. But he could be metame to mes mitzvah. Meaning if it's not coming to teach us anything regarding the nazir itself, then rather it's coming to teach us someone that's nazir, kohen gadol, and on his way to do a Karban Pesach. And even so, he still, he cannot be metamed to his sister, but he will be metamed to the mes mitzvah. But one thing is, Abaye proved this point, that this brisa, like we see, is Rebbe Akiva. And if it's Rebbe Akiva, so then we have a contradiction in Rebbe Akiva's own opinions regarding the two different brises, because you can't say that one is Rebbe Akiva, this one is Rebbe Shmuel, because this one that you want to say Rebbe Shmuel is Rebbe Akiva too. Therefore, obviously, how do we resolve that inconsistency between the two brises, if they're both Rebbe Akiva? Are we going to say that you become Tamei or that you don't become Tamei? Must be, depends when it happened. If it's before Chatzais or after Chatzais. And that is, if it's before Chatzais, the person died, then they will become Tamei and they won't bring the Karban Pesach. If it's afterwards, they will not become Tamei. That's the same thing for Aninus as Abaya, where you find this precedent in Halacha, in the biblical law, that if the person died before Chatzais, he's an Einin, and therefore he's not going to bring the Karban Pesach, like we're saying in Rebbe Shimon. If the person died after Chatzais, then we're not going to, with the Chiv of Karban Pesach already started, then, as we said, the Einin would bring his Karban Pesach, and that's what the Mishnah Pesachim said, that Eichel is Taivel V'Eichel is Pesach L'Erev. Now, as a continued time with Beis, Rav Amar, he goes back to this contradiction from the previous daf of Reb Shimon's two opinions, which is the Brice that said the Oin does not bring the Karban Pesach, and the Mishnah Psachim that said that you do bring the Karban Pesach, and he gives a fifth interpretation to resolve that contradiction. He says, both opinions of Reb Shimon are talking about after the noon that the person died, and it's still not a difficulty. Why? Khan, over here in the Braisa that said that it's forbidden to go ahead for the Oinon to bring the Karban Pesach, even if the person died afternoon, which up until now we were saying that, it should be permitted because the Chiv of Karban Pesach already started. Says Rav, no, you could even say that one's even after Chatzais and it would be forbidden, because it's Koidim Sheshachtu Bezarkulav. It's still before, although the obligation started, but they didn't yet slaughter and throw the blood of his Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Shimon holds in that situation, he would not bring his Karban Pesach because the Torah is rejecting him, as the Gemara is going to explain, where it says in the Pasuk, Shlamim Karbanai, which is the source of that Braisa that Rabbi Shimon says includes the Karban Pesach, which all Karbanis are only brought when he's Shalom, when he's whole. And since, even though the obligation started, but at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they didn't bring his Karban Pesach yet, and his relative died, he's not whole anymore, he's an Einin. Khan, however, in the Mishnah in Pesachim, that says that the Einan immerses and eats his Karban Pesach in the evening, meaning he does bring his Karban Pesach as Einan, is where the relative died. La'achar sheshachtu v'zarkulav. He died, yes, at 5:30 in the afternoon, and this person had already slaughtered and had his Karban brought at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And therefore, that's where, according to Reb Shimon, that of course he could bring a Karban Pesach, and he's going to eat in the evening. On this interpretation, only Rav Adar Masan L'Rav, Yasna and Rava, wait a second. You're telling me that Mishnah Pesachim is talking about that when does the Oinon bring his Pesach and mean that he eats in the evening? Is that when the relative died after that he already slaughtered and thrown the blood of that Karban Pesach? But why? Why could he eat in the evening? What happened? The person who had to bring his Karban Pesach already fulfilled his obligation. It was already done before his relative passed away. So then why do we reject? Why does the eating of the Karban Pesach override the Aninus Laila D'Rabbanan more than other Kachim? The Mishnah Pesachim says, other Kachim, you can't eat in the nighttime, even though the mitzvah d'oraisa of eating it. But that the Rabbanan say that you're an Einan. But for Karban Pesach, oh, that's a Chiv of Karas, we allow that. What Chiv of Karas? You already fulfilled your obligation of Karas because you already brought it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The relative only died at 5:30. How does that allow you to eat the Karban Pesach in the evening? In other words, according to Abayim, that he had explained it, that it's before that they slaughtered and threw the blood of the Karban, but yet it's after Chatzais. So he had explained that the obligation of Pesach is incumbent on the person, and if you're not going to allow him to eat it, he's not going to bring it, like we said, although he holds Achilles Pesachim as Loi Ma'akva, but if you're not going to let him to eat it, he's not going to bring it in the first place, because he was saying the whole cases were before the Karbanos were brought, just if it's before Chatzis, after Chatzis. So therefore, okay, Loi Hamida Devreim, B'Makom Karas, they even allowed him to eat it, even though what is eating, as we said, have to do with the bringing, they're independent, but if you're not going to let him eat it, then it's not, he's not going to come to bring it in the first place. But according to Rava, why Loi Hamida Devreim? So there's no B'Makom Karas over here. The person already brought the whole carbon already. The person only died afterwards. So why wouldn't you say, okay, but don't eat it. You're a Noinen. Rabbinically, you're a Noinen. So how could you eat it? And they didn't let a person to eat the other kajim. For carbon Pesach, they only allowed if it's integral to a Chiv Karas. Here's no Chiv Karas. The whole thing for Abai is, okay, but he might not come to bring it. But he already brought it over in this situation, according to Rava's interpretation. So that Amalei Ravina, he answers, unlike Abai, Achilles Pesachim Ma'akva. He says that no, the consumption of the Karban Pesach is integral to the fulfillment of the obligation of the Chiyuv Karas of bringing Karban Pesach. As the Gemara is going to shortly bring this interpretation, which is Midrabba Bar Rav Huna, which we know from Rabbi Rav Huna. That Amalei, Rava said to Rav Ada, who had asked the question, Tzais Ma'idakam Alach Rabach, listen to what your Rebbe Ravina had told you because he gave you a good answer. That's exactly the answer why. Where although that Reb Shimon over there in Pesachim is after the carbon was already brought, and only then the person died, and that's where he's saying, why could you eat it? You already fulfilled it. Is because, yes, the consumption of the carbon Pesach is integral, and therefore if he doesn't eat it, it's still going to be B'makom Karas, and that's why, even though Aninus Lazar Rabban, he could eat the carbon Pesach in the evening. Now the Gemara clarifies now, and says, what is, and this the Gemara concludes, essentially, from the previous stuff, the five different answers in that contradiction of the opinion of Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Rav Huna, what is this opinion of Rabbi Rav Huna that shows us that the consumption of the Karban Pesach is not just an independent mitzvah, but it's actually integral for the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Pesach, which if one doesn't bring the Karban Pesach, including the eating, it's a chiyuv of karas. The time like learn the braisa. Yom Shemua, the day when a person hears about a close relative of his that passed away, wasn't that day, but it has to be at least within 30 days. Let's say someone was far away, didn't hear, and 2 weeks later his close relative passed away. Says the braisa, Kiyem Kavura, that will have the same halacha as the day of the burial of his close relative, which means la mitzvah shiva ushleishim, that from the day that he hears about the loss of his relative is when it starts the 7 days, what we know as shiva, for not being able to bathe and to wear shoes, and for the 30 days of not laundering clothing. Now, ulachilis pesachim, but regarding the consumption of the Karban Pesach, the day when he hears about the loss of his relatives is kiyom likud atzamis, is like the day when they gather the bones of his close relative, which the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph tells us that if someone hears about the loss of his relative, let's say Lo Yaleinu, someone's father, or the day that they interred the bones of his relative, they gathered it together and they were reburying it somewhere else. The Halacha says the Gemara over there that Taiva Vaichel B'Kachim La'arav, so he immerses and he eats Kachim that evening. The Gemara asks over there, what do you mean? If he gathered the bones of his father, he became tummy by touching bones of a dead person. He has to spray himself from the paraduma ashes day 3 and day 7. The Gemara answers, no, he didn't gather the bones himself. Other people gathered for him the bones, which the Gemara Moed Katan of Chesam and Alv says that when they gather a person, the bones of a person's father or mother, so he has to mourn on them that whole entire day. That's what the Gemara in Pesachim says, but in the evening, he's going to be permitted to partake of kachim. That is what the Bryce over here has come to tell us, that the day that he hears about the loss of his relative regarding the eating the Karban Pesach is not going to be like the day of the burial, because in regards to the day of the burial, he does not eat his Karban Pesach in that evening, even if the relative died the day before on the 13th of Nisan, and the burial, however, was on the 14th, he's not going to eat his Karban Pesach that evening. Rather, the day he hears about the loss, what's called Yom HaShemua, is like the day of Likud HaTzamis, the day when they gather his parents' bones, which is then he is permitted in Ol Kachim that evening. Why he mentions Pesachim then is because it wants to say, in the contrast regarding the day of the Kvura, to say that the day of the Kvura, that night would be forbidden for that person that they had buried his close relative on the 14th of Nisan, that night he wouldn't be able to even partake of a Karban Pesach. Continues the Braisa. Echadze ve echadze, which we have to say that what does it mean, this, both this one and that one, refers to the day of the burial and the day of the gathering of the bones, which is who we're comparing the Yom HaShemur to. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is bringing this in for, that there's going to be a contradiction between the Reish of the Braisa and the Seif of the Braisa, as the Gemara is going to address that. Because if one would think that when it says Echadze ve echadze refers to the last category that we just spoke about, the Yom HaShemur and the Yom Likud HaTzomis, then it wouldn't say Echadze ve echadze, because you just spoke about it, you would just say Zeh ve Zeh. This one and this one. You're saying Echadze ve echadze must be referring to the two categories that we're comparing Yom HaShemur to, which is the Yom HaKvura and the day of Likud HaTzomis. Says the Braisa, Techa ve echel bekachem le'erv. Then the person immerses himself and he eats kachem in the evening, and for sure then he would eat his carbon pesach in the evening, which is definitely more of a severe type of carbon that would require his eating in the evening. And that says the Gemara, and this is all going to lead towards this teaching of Rabbi Rav Huna, Hagufa Kasha. You have an internal contradiction in the Braisa itself. Amrit, you said in the Reisha that Yom Shmua Kiyem Kvura Lemitzvah Shiva Ushlaishim. Regarding when you're hearing about the death of a close relative, so that's like the day of the burial regarding the laws of Shiva and Shleish. But Lechilis Pesachim, regarding the consumption of the Karm Pesach, that you said it's not like the Yom HaKvura. That's Kiyam Likud HaTzomis, that's going to be like the day of the gathering of the bones, which sounds like, but that's not like the day of the burial. Mechlal, the inference is, the Yom HaKvura must be that the day of the burial, Afil Le'erev Nami Le'achol, that even in the evening, that then one cannot go ahead and eat his Karm Pesach. But then Vahadatani, then you then go and you say in the Seifa, Echadze ve Echadze, which we said, as the Gemara is going to prove, means the Yom Kvura and the Yom Likud HaTzomis is Taivol Va'echel B'Kachem L'Arab, that you do immerse and you do eat the Kachem in the evening. So what's the halacha of the Yom Kvura? Do you eat the Kachem in the evening or do you not? So Rav Chisda says, Tanoihi. So that the main focus is not the interpretation of Rav Chisda. There's two answers. The main one that we wanted to bring is the second interpretation. Rav Chisda says, it's Machalikis Tanoim. Who there's a machlekes, they disagree regarding the night after the day of the burial, which is not the day of the death, that there is an opinion, which is the Tana of the Reisha of the Braisa, that would be forbidden rabbinically that the following night. And moreover, even though Pesach, we say, Loi hamidi devrim b'makam karas, but the Tana of the Braisa holds that the eating of the Karban Pesach is not me'akim, and therefore even the Karban Pesach is not going to eat in the nighttime. And it's only therefore that we can compare the Yom HaShemur Kiyam Likud HaTzomis that he eats in the evening, but actually, yeah, Yom Kivur, he would not eat the Karban Pesach in that evening, and we're going to bring later on this opinion that holds like that. Whereas the Sefer held that it's not going to be forbidden the night after the Kivur. That's one interpretation. Now, Rav Huna Amar, which is the one that we wanted to bring in his interpretation, which is going to show that he holds, obviously, that Rava was holding in his answer that Achilas Pesachim is Me'akiv. So he says, Loi Kasha. No, he gives a different interpretation. Not that it's Machlokes Tanoim, it's one Tana. But Kan, over here in the Sefer, which was saying that by all the cases, including Yom Kavura, that they're going to eat Kachim and for sure the Karban Pesach in that evening, is talking about when any one of these situations happen to the person, which is Shashama Shmua Mesai, where if let's say he heard about the death of his relative, he heard about it Samach Lashkia Sachama, near before sundown. So to v'chein sheliktu loyat samis, regarding the case of when they gathered the bones of his relative, his father and his mother, was samach l'shkiyas hachama, was before near sundown. And v'chein shemeis le'meis, so to regarding when his relative died, v'kavr and they buried him, was samach l'shkiyas hachama, was before the sundown. Where therefore, when it gets dark, when it becomes nighttime, that's going to be the night after the day of the burial. And it's going to be the night after the Yom HaShemur, it's going to be the night after the day of the gathering of the bones. Oh, the time of this Braisa holds, the day of the burial does not make the night forbidden, even rabbinically. And for sure, the day of the burial, which is more severe than the day of the hearing and the day of the gathering of bones, are also not going to be prohibited the night after. But for Khan, over here in the ratio, which the inference, like we had said, was that, oh, the Yom HaShemur, regarding eating the Karban Pesach, is the day of the gathering of the bones, that he could eat the Karban Pesach that night. Which we said the inference is, but regarding the day of the burial, that night he cannot eat the Karban Pesach. That's when one of these things happens, la'achar shkiyas hachama. It happened after sundown. Where then that night is the day of the burial itself, because by Jewish law, the day starts when the night happens. And therefore it's not the night after the day of the burial. And then therefore, even though the day of the burial itself is only rabbinically, but the Rabbanu were stringent regarding the day of the burial itself, more than the day of the Shmua and the gathering of the bones, that we make him forbidden even for the Karban Pesach. But regarding the day of the gathering of the bones, there, that's not as severe as a category as the Yom Kippur itself. They did not make him forbidden the Karban Pesach, only regarding other kachim, they required the person who gathered the bones and had the Yom Hashmud to wait for the evening time. And that's what the Reish of the Brisa was saying. Regarding the eating of the Karban Pesach, the Yom Hashmud is the Yom Elikad Atzamis. And therefore he's going to eat this Karban Pesach, even if he heard or gathered the bones after Shkia, when Pesach is starting. Where the Yom HaShemua itself, and it's the day of the Yom Likud HaTzametz itself, still it's going to be permitted. Whereas, and that's the contrast regarding the Yom HaKvur itself, where there, if let's say his relative even died on the 13th of Nisan, but then non-Jews went and buried him after Shkia of the 14th of Nisan, he would be forbidden to eat his Karban Pesach, because that would be the Yom HaKvur itself. Now Rashi addresses and he says, what do you mean? If it's after Pesach started, didn't the obligation of Simchas HaRegel start, the rejoicing of a Yom Tov, and therefore we don't have the minig of Avelis on the Yom Tov? So that says Rashi, that's regarding Avelis, which is rabbinic. And that's where it says, V'samachta b'chagecha. But regarding Aninus, which is the day of the death itself, that would make that's what makes a person forbidden the kachim, that would take effect, and therefore that would be forbidden, even though that the burial happened after Shkia, when Pesach started. Now, but both the gathering of the bones and the day of the Shmua, where it happened when it was daytime, then we said, yeah, you eat kachem in that evening, because the nighttime is not going to be forbidden. But regarding the day itself, okay, that we said, the day itself, you're forbidden with other kachem, even if it's just the Yom HaShemua and Yom Likud HaTzametz, but the exception would be Pesach, as the Gemara continues to explain this interpretation. Therefore, says Rabbi Rav Huna, that's the resolution of the contradiction. Where, what do you mean? What's the halacha regarding the Yom HaKvura? Well, depends. If the Yom HaKvura of Erev Pesach happened before Shkia, so then it's going to be permitted that night. If it happened after Shkia, it's already halachically, we have to be concerned that it's already nighttime, then the night of Pesach is itself Yom HaKvura, then it's going to be forbidden for him to partake of the Karban Pesach. Now that is the Gemara, la'achar Shkia sachama. If you're telling me that the case is talking about after sundown, then ma'ida hava, whatever happened. Why are we differentiating in regards to the Karban Pesach or regarding other kachim? But you said that kachim are forbidden on the day, even of just of Likud HaTzametz, on the day itself, like you said, that you have to wait for the evening, even for Likud HaTzametz and Yom HaShemua. And so why about Pesach are you saying that it's permitted? You're saying that, oh, Pesach is going to be forbidden by the Yom HaKvur, but the Yom HaShemua and Yom Likud HaTzametz is going to be permitted. But why? Why is it permitted over here? What allows us? The Karban Pesach was already brought. So what are you saying you're permitting over here? So that says the Gemara, and this is the proof that this is what Rabbi Rav Huna holds in his resolution, and that's what Rabbi is bringing from that. Rather, you can infer because achilas psachim ma'akva. The eating of the Karban Pesach is me'akiv to the whole fulfillment of the chiv of the Karban of the Pesach itself. And therefore, that's what we say, lo yamid de devrim b'makom karis, that they did not keep their rabbinic law of aninus, even if it's the day of the, what's happening, if it's the day of the Yom HaShemua, which, yeah, rabbinically, they usually don't allow one to partake of kachim on that day, the night after, yeah, but here you're saying what happened was after Shkia, so it's the day of the Yom HaShemua, the Yom Likud HaTzametz itself, but that's going to be getting in the way of the fulfillment of the Chiv of Karban Pesach of Karis, because the Chiv of Pesachim is ma'akiv, it's part and parcel of the fulfillment, the obligation of the Chiv of the Karban Pesach. But, however, if it's the Yom HaKvura, that's what the inference of the Reish of the Brisa was, then Hemidu Devrim, then they did institute their halacha. Why? Don't you say lo yamidu devrim b'makom karis? Why do they keep the rabbinic law of if it happened after Shkia, so it's the Yom HaKvur itself, that it cannot get the Karban Pesach? Why not? That's going to be the makom karis of the fulfillment of the obligation of the Yom HaKvur. So that's what Rashi says, because most people bury on the day of the death. And if we're going to let them eat the Karban Pesach on the Yom HaKvur itself, because if it happened after Shkia, the night of Pesach is Yom HaKvur itself, we might come to permit then on the day of the death itself, which that is biblically prohibited. And as Rashi points out, there are situations, as in an extenuating circumstance, like in our halach of the Yom HaKvura, that the Rabbanan they were maimed devrim b'makom karis, that the rabbinic law overrode even an obligation of a chiv karis, as the Gemara says, "M'sachim dav tzali beis amen alf." So again, therefore, that is the interpretation of Rabbi Rav Huna, which, because of the contradiction, he points out that must be It was regarding before Shkia and after Shkia, which we ran into a question after Shkia, so my dahaba haba. And that says the Gemara, must be because Achiz Pesachim Akim, that's the proof for that fifth interpretation of the resolution of the halacha of Rabbi Shimon, that it makes a difference regarding if it was after Shkita or before Shkita, which the Gemara then said, well, then my dahaba haba, you already fulfilled it. What's the point then of eating the Karban Pesach? Because Achiz Pesachim is ma'akva. Now, however, Avashi, I mean, he says, however, a different interpretation, which would resolve the internal contradiction in the Braisa, thus not necessitating the interpretation of Rabbi Puna, which is the whole source of the insinuating understanding that Achilas Pesachim is Ma'akva. He says, "Ma'echad zeh ve'echad zeh." You know what the Braisa means? That both this one and that one, it's not going back on Yom Kippur. You're right. Yom Kippur is like, it's like inferred from the ratio that that's going to be forbidden to eat kachem in the evening. What does it mean when it says echad zeh ve'echad zeh, that you could be tayv v'eichel even regular kachem be'erev? Hachikama, that's what the Braisa is saying. Echad yom shmua ve'echad yom likud. Whether it's the day that he heard about the death, or whether it's the day of the gathering of the bones. That's what tayv v'eichel kachem be'erev. That's where you immerse and you eat kachem in the evening. And therefore you're right. There's no contradiction here at all. It's not talking about the Yom Kippur. But however, as we had alluded to this earlier, now v'hadir v'ashi bedusihi. This interpretation of Ashi is mistaken. Because Mechti, let's see. Allah Kai. What was this words of Echad Zeh Ve'echad Zeh? It was going back on the last sentence, which was speaking about, if you're saying it refers to the Yom Shmu and the Yom Likud HaTzomis, well, that was the last sentence that said. The last sentence was that regarding the Yom Shmu that we're talking about, that's the context of that Braisa, that regarding the eating of Karm Pesach, it's Kiyom Likud HaTzomis. So if it's going right back on what it just said, because that's what you're saying Echad Zeh Ve'echad Zeh refers to, then Zeh Ve'zeh Mibayle should have said this and this, not Echad Zeh Ve'echad Zeh, which sounds like the categories that were mentioned in the entirety of the Braisa. L'shmama number do say, rather, it must be that he's in error, and then you have to answer either one of the two interpretations of Rav Chisda, that either it's two different Tanoim, or the Grab Rav Huna, that's one Tana, but it makes a difference if it was before Shkia or after Shkia, and therefore, again, according to Rav Huna, is where we get the source for that, what Rav was holding also in his answer, which was substantiated based on the premise of Achilas Pesachim being Ma'akim in the fulfillment of the Chiv Karban Pesach, of the Chiv Karban Pesach of the Karis itself. Now going back to the interpretation of Chizda, the Gemara says, "Umay Tanoi, who are these Tanoim that disagree in the Braisa, the way Rav Chizda interpreted, that regarding the day of the burial, is the night after the day of the burial going to be prohibited rabbinically as aninus or not?" Which Rav Chizda had said, that was the two different interpretations of the Yom HaKvura, what's the night going to be? Oh, the Reish and the Seif are two different Tanoim. Who are these Tanoim? Says the Gemara, Tanak learned the Braisa. Ad Mosai Mis Einin Olav. Up until when does a person have halachically a status as an oinin to be prohibited to partake of kachem? Says the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, kolayim, the whole day. Now the assumption is the day, but not the night. Rabbi Yemi says, kol zman shalei nikver, as long as the person is not buried. Now the assumption is that Rabbi's coming to disagree to make it more lenient, that he says, the whole day he's not going to be forbidden, because the moment that they bury the relative, he's right away permitted to partake of kachem, he's not an oinin anymore. And that asks the Gemara, but Maizkin, what are we talking about over here? Elam b'yayimisa, if we're talking about that it was the day of the death that we're talking about, that's the day that they buried the person. Mi ikka de lesle, is there anyone that doesn't hold of the halacha, the yayimisa toughest leilam adrabanan, that if it's the day of the death, that the following night is at least going to be rabbinically prohibited as an einin? Because, as Rashi points out, both according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi, who even though they disagree with Rabbi Huda, who he holds the night after is biblical, and they disagree that the night after is going to be biblical, but they all hold at least that rabbinically it's going to be forbidden as aninus the night after the day of the death. So if we're talking about the Yom HaMisa, how could you say that both Rebbe and the Rabban here are saying that it's going to be permitted the following night? How can you say that? Seemingly everyone says that the following night of the Yom HaMisa, if that's the case we're talking about, is at least forbidden, at least rabbinically. Besu, moreover, you're saying Rebbe Eimer calls Manchele Nikver, that as long as the relative wasn't buried, then he's forbidden. But if he's buried even just a few hours later, then already he's permitted for Kachem. So you're saying Hakavri Ishtarele, but if he's buried, then he's permitted. Umiyika Delesle says the Gemara, is there anyone that doesn't hold of the Pasuk in Amos, Vachrisik Gemar, which Rashi translates that the Pasuk there in Amos is referring to that the end of someone that has relations with a Zaina is going to be like a bitter day, meaning that there's going to be mourning that people are going to mourn over this person who is mezana with the zayna, because ultimately the person is going to end up dying, and people are going to mourn on that person. But one thing you see in the pasuk is that the bitterness, the mourning, the aninus, is a full day. Ki yoyim mar, like the bitter day. So how can you say that Rebbe's saying that if you bury him within that day that is already permitted kachim, when seemingly everyone agrees aninus at least a full day? So rather, Amrav Sheshes says, you're right, it's not talking about the Yom HaMisa, a Yom Kvur Kai. Their machlek is regarding the day of the burial, meaning that the person that died the day before, and today is the day of the burial. Now, the Gemara still has not yet concluded its discussion to define that who are these Tanoim of Rav Chisda, up until when the Gemara finally concludes at the end, where Rabbi Yirmiyahu will ultimately end up getting the final translation of this Braisa, which will show this machlek is Tanoim. Because Maskel Rav Yisim, and this interpretation that the Gemara is giving for the of the Rav Sheshes gives of the Braisa, Rav Yisur asks on that. He says, wait, okay, so it's the Yema Kfura. But Elohadik Tani, but then this that we learn in the Braisa, it says, Hashemea al Meisoik Melakar Atzamis, similar like we said before. Someone hears about the death of his relatives, it's like the day of when they gather the bones, which in regards to halachas of a carbon of a karbanis, is Tayyivul Va'ichal V'kachim La'erv. For Shiva and Shleshim, we said he's like the day of the Kvura. But regarding the laws of Kachim, it's like the day of the gathering of the bones, where he could immerse himself and he could eat kachim that evening. So says Rav Yosef, Mechlal, the inference is, the Yom Kvura, but regarding the day of the burial, afil le'erv nami lo'achal, that even that night cannot eat. So then Hamani, who's the town of this Braisa? You're telling me, both according to Rabbi and according to Rabbanon, that the night after is permitted. Rabbi even holds even in the day itself. But then this Braisa, like we brought this before, that says that the night is going to be forbidden, who is that like? Any source at this braisa is defining what aninus is. You're telling me both tanoim hold that the night after is not prohibited. Elataritz, rather says Rav Yisim, no, you have to interpret the braisa as follows. Admas, I miss aina love, up until as someone considered an aina on his close relative that passed away. It's called oise hayyim. When it says that day, it means that whole day of the burial, vilayla, and the night afterwards. Rabbi Yimer, he says, calls manchalay nikver. No, it's as long as the relative is not buried. Avo nikver, but if he is buried, then beloy lilay. Then it's even without the night, meaning then the night is going to be permitted. But on the day, and that's why Rav Yosef is giving this interpretation, the day itself, you cannot say that Rebbe permitted if they buried him. Because even the day of the gathering of the bones, we said before, is going to be forbidden that whole day, like we said, Tevav Eichel Erev. Like the Braisa is saying, you could immerse in the evening, but even the day of Likud HaTzamis, which is a much less severe type of halacha, is going to be forbidden that whole day. What is Rebbe saying? That, however, but if you bury him, you don't have to keep that aninus at the nighttime, whereas the Rabban hold that, no, aninus is automatically that day and the following night. But still, on this interpretation of Rav Yosef, Amru Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah, they said in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. On that Amar, he said, Gavar Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, Lei Malchai, such a great person, like Rabbi Yosef is going to give such an interpretation. Based on what he's saying, Lema the Rebbe Lukula, is that to say that Rebbe's saying more leniently? The way he's interpreting is that the Rabbanan said that the day and the night is forbidden, and Rebbe's saying, no, if you don't bury him, but if you bury him, it's only going to be that day and not the night. So, which is more lenient. On that, as Rabbi Yirmiyahu of Atan, learned the Braisa that says, Admosim es Aynelov. Regarding the same halacha, another Braisa says, how long is that Ninus period for? So that says the first opinion, calls mancha in the nikfer, as long as he's not buried, meaning, afil mekan v'adasar yamim, if let's say something happens that they can't bury him for even 10 days, then the person is still going to be in oinah and forbidden for kashrim for those 10 days. That's divi rebi. The chacham ayimim, they're the more lenient ones. They say, no, emes oinah love elo itza yam bovad. No, the aninus is only going to be for that day itself. Not more than that. So, and even if they don't bury the person. So obviously you see that rebi is the one that's being the more stringent. So therefore, since you cannot interpret the machlekes, meaning that the pinya of the Rabbanim, who they permit the person to eat at nighttime, in the evening, you can't say talking about that when the person that's dead is still there. Obviously, it has to be that we're talking about the day of the burial. Like we said, it can't be the Yom HaMisa, because the Yom HaMisa, everyone agrees the night is going to be forbidden. But the Rabbanim is saying that the following night is permitted. It's only Oysa Yom Lovad. So Ela Taratzach, rather says, Yom, the way you have to interpret the braces is as follows. Ad masay hu misayin love up until when is daninus? The Tanakhama says kaleisa yom, that the entire day of the burial beloy leili, without the night, only the day. That Rabbi Yomer calls manchalei nikfer. No, that's only as long as the person wasn't buried. But v'im nikfer, but if he is buried, then toifus leiloi, then even the night is going to be forbidden. In other words, what Rebbe's saying is that if the person isn't buried, then even for 10 days. This is going to be aninus for. But whenever he is buried, the following night is also going to be forbidden. And that's a Chacham say, no, the aninus is only on the day of the burial, and it's only the day itself, but does not include the following night, and that's the Machlokes Tanaim of Rav Chisda, which we had mentioned before, is the Yom HaKfur, is the Leiloi after the Yom HaKfur Asur or not. That's the Machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Rebbe holds that it is Typhus Leiloi, that it's going to be forbidden the following night, and the Rabbanan say, no, it's only Yom HaKfur itself. Now, Amru Kameh de Rava. They said this interpretation of Rabbi Yirmiyahu from the Rava. And he asked, Midaka Amar Rebbe Yom Kavura, but then based on this interpretation, you have the following question. Rebbe was referring to the night after the day of the burial. Now, so Rebbe's saying that the day of the burial, which it itself was only rabbinic, biblically, there's no halacha of being prohibited in Kachem on the day of the Kavura, the day of the death yet, but here the death happened the day before. So the day of the burial itself was only rabbinic, and still you're saying, Rebbe holds Toivus Leila Midrabanan, that the following night after the day of the Kavura is also going to be rabbinically forbidden in Kachem. Machlal, so the inference obviously was going to be that the Yom Misa, the day of the death, which that is a biblical law, that they're Typhus Leila Midaraisa, that for sure you're going to have to say that, okay, then therefore, of course, according to biblical law, it's also going to be the following night that's going to be prohibited in Kachem, because the assumption of the Gemara right now is that the Chacham would never have made a law that would be more stringent than the biblical parallel, where here the primary law is rabbinic, the Yom HaKavur, and you're saying the following night is rabbinically prohibited. Obviously, then the Torah would say, if the day of the Misa, which is biblical, for sure the following night would also be, according to biblical law, prohibited. On that, asked Ravam, Vesava Rebbe Aninus Laila Dereis, do you think that Rebbe holds that the Aninus, after the night of even the day of the death, that it's biblical? But Vetanya Linda Braisa, Rebbe says it's not. The Braisa talks about, which we're going to discuss at length on the next daf, regarding the response of Aaron HaKohen to Moshe Rabbeinu when he got angered at Aaron and his sons, why they went and did certain things regarding the Karbanos on the day of the Shmini Lemelum, which when they inaugurated the Mishkan, which is the day that the sons of Nadab and Abihu passed away. The Aaron HaKohen had said, as the Pasuk says in Yikra Paragud Pasuk Yotes, that Aaron said to Moshe, Hein Hayoim, these were today that they sacrificed their chatas and their oil in front of Hashem. Now the words Hein Hayoim, we're going to discuss at length in the next daf what that's referring to, but the understanding of this braisa is that the word Hein sounds like these karbanas are different than all other karbanas. Meaning, Ani Hayoim Aser V'layla Mutter. Me, I am, today, says Aaron, on this day, when his children had passed away and with Shminim Lum, that it's today that I'm forbidden, but at nighttime that I'm be permitted. In other words, says Aaron to Moshe, it's regarding that you heard that, yes, that even though I'm an Oinin, that his children had passed away, that he could eat it at nighttime, the karbanis. Because, as Rashi explains the reason, because we're all Oininim, and there's no kayin to eat. But, said Aaron, which the inference of his words are, it's only Hein Hayyim that halacha is like that. But Eloderis, regarding future generations, when even if a kayin lost his close relative, there are other kahanim who could eat the karban, then Bein Bayim and Bein Malai lost, and then whether even during the daytime and even the nighttime, the Oinin would be forbidden to partake of Kachem, that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. As we're going to see, that he holds that because, and that's the source from Aaron over here, which is a biblical narrative, that it's Aninus is Aser Belaila, even Medei Raisim. On that, Rabbi Yehuda, he responds, no. Aninus Laila, Einim Medei Retire, Ilm Medei Retire, it's not true. You can't interpret this pasuk like that, because the law of Aninus following the day of the death is not biblical, it's only rabbinic. That's their machlaikis, and we'll discuss that. But one thing we see is that Rebbe holds the night following the day of the death is only rabbinic. So you have a difficulty here. How could you say that Yom HaKavur, it itself was only Rabbanan? And the Rabbanan follow along and say, okay, the night after is also, that would make sense that biblical law, which a Yom HaMisa is forbidden, that biblically the night after should also be, yet we see it's not, it's only rabbinically, according to Rebbe. Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. La'olam d'Rabbani, you're right, that even the night after the Yom HaMisa, is only rabbinic, as we see in this braisa. And even so, like we said before, according to Rebbe, the day of the burial, which it itself was only rabbinic, Rebbe holds that the night following it is also rabbinically prohibited. How could that be? Says the Gemara continues, because for Chachamim asu chizik l'divreim, the Rabbanan, the rabbis made strength for their opinions, their words, like the Yom HaKavura, yesu mishal Torah, more than that, what the Torah does for its own words. I mean, as Taisa explains, it doesn't mean that the Chacham's words are more stringent regarding the Torah's words, rather means to say that they strengthened their opinion, which they wanted to make the Yom HaKavur Asr to partake of Kachem, that they're going to strengthen that by making even the night following Asr Midrabanan, more than what the Torah does for itself. Because the Torah made the Yom HaMisa forbidden, and the Torah did not expect that also the following night to be forbidden. The Rabbanim went and made the Yom HaMisa the night afterwards also forbidden. But that's because the rabbis went and strengthened their opinions more than the words of Torah, and there was not a difficulty why, although we're saying, according to Rabbi, that he is the from the Tanoim that Rav Chisda pointed out, that the night after Yom HaKfur is going to be forbidden, rabbinically, is Rabbi, even though, according to the biblical law, it doesn't have the following night prohibited, albeit rabbinically, is because Yechacham were machzik divrayim to make the night following their halacha of Yom HaKfur more than what the Torah requires. The Torah is not going to make the night after what it wants to be forbidden in Kachem, also forbidden. It's only Rabban that go ahead and do that by Yom HaMisa, and also for their own halacha of Yom HaKfur.